The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
As I was thinking about the fact that our series is called Love Stinks, okay? And it's not just because of the song, it's because we really believe that when God is absent in the relationships and in our homes and in our marriages, we believe that love just doesn't work out the way it's supposed to. And the best way to accurately describe that is to say it smells bad, okay? So without God in the picture, things just don't work out the way they're supposed to. And as I was thinking through, like, what are some of the reasons? What are some of the things that cause that? If we could just, like, sometimes if you have an odor in the house, okay? Like, you ever walked into the home and something's just a little funky? And you're like, man, what is that? You're like, looking under, you know, under furniture, under the bed, under the, I'm not going to tell the story. Debbie would kill me if I tell the story about the dead mouse in our house. Slipped out. Sorry, babe. But sometimes it's just like this odor, and you're like, what is that? And finally, you find that sock, and you're like, the culprit! I found it! Okay, so if you could identify a culprit in our relationships and in our marriages, what it is that's making it stink, what is it that's making it just not be pleasant and be all it's cracked up to be? And kind of like our tagline, you know, that whole happily ever after that we're all want to experience, and it's just not there. Like, what is the reason for that? What's the culprit? And so I think, personally, that it has something to do with something inside of us, okay? I believe that it starts with really who we are and what we believe about God and how we as individuals interact with God. Now, we like to blame other things. We like to blame the people that we're in relationships with. We like to blame our situation. We like to blame our home. I mean, we'll even blame the dog, right? We'll blame anything but ourselves. And I really think it comes down to our own personal faith when it comes to whether or not love is going to be done the right way in our home, okay? And so if I could put it in just like, you know, a short phrase, I would just say, you gotta have faith.
I gotta have faith. Ooh, I gotta have faith. Because I gotta have faith, faith, faith. I gotta have faith, faith, faith.
Okay, so if you heard the whole song, which we couldn't play in church on a Sunday morning, if you heard the song before, you'd be like, no, don't get that song in my head. It's terrible. It is not a good song. But, if you just take that chorus, which apparently is, I gotta have faith. Faith, the faith, the faith, the faith, faith, faith. Okay, so if you just take that chorus, then I think it says a lot about who we are supposed to be when it comes to our homes, our marriages, our families. And so we're going to talk about our own personal faith. So this morning, I guess, is going to be a little bit introspective, and that we're really going to be kind of looking into our own hearts and examining what's there and what's going on. Because maybe, just maybe in your home and in your relationships, maybe you're the dirty sock. Maybe the thing that stinks is your own relationship with God. And if we address that and take care of that, then I think that God can really do some cool things in our homes. Sound good? Okay, so in order to kind of maybe help just illustrate that and also give you a little peek into my week, I want to tell you about something that happened that probably has never happened to me before. I mean, not since I was like 7 years old or something. They had this thing at camp called Crud Wars. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Crud. Okay, so they had mud, they had shaving cream, they had this slime mixture, they had this giant vat of like applesauce weirdness. Okay, so all this disgusting stuff. And basically, the game that we played was throw as much of that stuff on the other person as you possibly can. Okay? And as the game began, and by the way, I knew about this game way ahead of time, and my wife was just like so excited, right? She's just like full of glee because she knows that I hate to get dirty, okay? She knows that I hate to, you know, if there's dirt or grease on my hands, I'm like, where's the bathroom? I got to wash it off. I don't want it to be on me for very long. So Debbie's like, this is going to be good. Jeremiah covered in crud. I can't wait. And it was good for her. Yeah, pictures? Yeah, you ready for that? Okay, this picture actually says a lot. Let me tell you why. This is at the very beginning of the game. Oh, you think that's dirty? Yeah, no, that's not dirty. That was just like the first phase of the game. That was just the mud. Okay, so as you can see, I kind of have this, I don't know. In my mind, let me tell you what was going through my mind. Why Jesus? How does a loving God fit into this situation? That was really what I was thinking at the time. And so I got over that shock, but that someone just happened to, you know, document that moment where I was just like, help me, please. And at that point, I was just like, oh, who cares what you're going to see in a moment? Why? Okay, so next picture. It's a picture of me with my buddy Brandon. And yeah, so at this point I had mud, I had slime, I had my ear, I couldn't even hear out of one of my ears. It was just packed with goo and stuff. And so my buddy Brandon actually got some shaving cream and just kind of rubbed it on my chest. He was just like, yeah, here you go. A little bit more. I felt disgusting. It was horrible. Now, okay, all this actually serves a purpose because every activity that happened at this camp taught a lesson. And so that night, I was going to be speaking on the fact that Jesus sees our mess. Jesus knows about our sin. He's aware of our condition, and he loves us anyway. And so they got the kids just as dirty as they could possibly get them so that this message would really ring home when I gave it. And so for me, the message really, yeah, I really brought that message home to me because I felt disgusting. Now, the best part about this was that at the end of Crud Wars, we were all done with Crud Wars. We're like, yeah, it's time to go get rid of stuff. And they made an announcement, and they were like, oh, the camp ran out of water. They said, it's going to be at least 2 hours before we get water. That was like the best news ever for me. And so, again, I'm like, no. So when we arrived at the camp a couple days earlier, our cabin was right outside this nice-looking pond, a pretty pond, okay? But as I got closer to the pond, I noticed there were, like, things growing in it. And, like, a kind of a slick surface of slime on top of the pond. And, like, the frogs were just enjoying that, you know? And there was bugs and there was all, I mean, when I got close to it, I was like, oh, my gosh, I hope I never, ever step foot in that pond. It looks horrible. Okay, nice to look at, but when you got up, it even had a funky odor to it. Like you get closer, like, ooh, no. So they announce there's no water in camp. What do you think those kids did? Yeah, they decided, kids, you know, they do crazy things because they're kids, and so they don't think about the sanitary issues and all this stuff. And so, of course, they're jumping in the water. And there was a colleague of mine that was standing by the edge of the pond, and he's like, can you believe this? These kids, I mean, that water's disgusting, and they're in that water just swimming around like as if they're getting themselves clean. It's just not happening. I'm like, yeah, it's gross. He's like, you want to get in? I'm like, yeah, let's get in. So this next little snapshot is of, yeah. Oh, nicely executed. Thank you very much. See that again. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, look at that cannonball. I haven't done that in, like, I don't know, 15 years. Now, here's the thing. Like, I actually didn't know anybody knew I was doing that. I was just like, all right, I'm getting in, and I went and jumped in. And then later on, a friend of mine tweeted, I caught this accidental footage of Jeremiah doing the cannonball. And so it's pretty cool that I got that on film. So, okay, so it looks like a fun experience. Here's the thing. The dirtiness was on my skin and the outside of my clothes, okay? But when I jumped into the pond, the dirtiness came underneath my clothes. So I climb out of the pond, and I'm like, I am filthy. Now, I thought I was dirty before I got in. Now I was disgustingly filthy. I mean, it was horrible. The fire department shows up to hose kids down. That's how bad it was, okay? And apparently the wildfires were under control and they had nothing else to do. So fire department's there. They get kids and they're like hosing them down. And they hose me down. I got in line like three times to get hosed down by the fire department. And then after that, I go up onto the porch of my cabin. Debbie's like, yeah, take something off before you go in there. So take my shirt off. Lo and behold, on my back, a leech. yeah. It was like, just like the icing on the cake, the filthy cake, of course. Okay. People were coming up to us and be like, take our picture. And me and Debbie were like, you know what? We have this thing. We don't take dirty pictures. So sorry. We're not going to. So you can actually tell people that. Ooh, Jeremiah showed dirty pictures in church. Probably the dirtiest that we've ever seen here. But the point is that there was this funky odor all day, even though I had finally got washed off by the fire department, and then when the water came back on, took a shower, but under my fingernails, I mean, I could just smell there was this odor, and I would be like, it stinks, and yeah, it was me. It was me that stunk. So maybe, just maybe, in your relationship, in your family, your home, there's something not quite right, and have you ever stopped to think that maybe it's you? Let's talk about that. Let's read our passage today is Colossians 2. We're going to read verses 6 and 7, then we're going to jump around to a couple other passages, but we'll start there. It says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Father, I pray this morning as we look at your word, as we spend some time just sitting in this passage, and I ask, Father, that you would help us to understand more about us, our personal faith, and what we believe about you, God, how we're growing, how we're pursuing you, God, because, Father, I believe that maybe the answer to some of the things that are going crazy in our lives right now, God, the answer may be found in where we're at when it comes to our personal faith with you, God. And so I pray this morning you'd open our eyes, make it clear to us, God. May my words be your words this morning. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So I'm noticing something about this, and I believe this is like a point that you can take with you, not just from this passage, but I think from everything that God shows us about what it means to have faith in him and to be discipled in him. The first thing that I want you to take with you is that we need to have a faith that is growing and strong. We need to have a faith that is growing and strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul says this, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And I love the picture here in the passage, in this Colossians passage of roots like a tree growing down deep and into the ground and just getting connected to the earth in such a way that we become immovable. And of course, our roots are going down into the rock, which is Jesus. And there's no way that we can budge if our roots are sunk deep into him. And not only that, but I see some more pictures here. I see this picture of this incredibly strong foundation of our lives are built on Christ. I mean, this is what it means to have a faith that has strength. But God doesn't want our faith just to be strong. He wants our faith to be active and growing. Check out this passage, and it's one that's probably familiar to you, John 15:5, where Jesus describes himself as a vine. He says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, I want you to really just try to wrap your minds around that last phrase where it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because we need to understand how vitally important it is that we are connected to the vine, that we're connected to Jesus. Now, the Vick family does not have green thumbs, okay? We have plants. Our plants actually deserve a lot of props for surviving. It's like I come into my house, I'm like, well done, plant. You're doing a good job. You're a survivor, because if you can survive in this environment, you can do anything. Our plants, we're actually going to send our plants off to college because we're so proud of them that they're still alive. That's where we're at. If we have a beautiful plant in our home, it probably is not going to be beautiful for very long, because there are certain things that plants need. Water. And water. And those are like two things we don't usually give our plants. And so for some reason, they just don't last very long. Here's the thing. As followers of Jesus, as people that are supposed to be connected to the vine, we have got to be being fed, being nourished by Jesus. We have to stay connecting. There's a term, abiding. Okay, just this idea that we just set up camp and we just stay with Jesus and we receive all the nourishment, all the health that we can receive from him. That's what it's all about. If your faith is going to grow and strengthen, you must be securely connected to Jesus. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Now, the writer of Hebrews, who some people think is Paul, he describes, I guess, kind of a process that happens to us as we become followers of Jesus, and then we in some ways, don't remain nourished by that vine. He says this. He says, "Let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God." See, here's the thing. For some of us, our relationship with Jesus has not progressed very far beyond that moment where we said, "Yeah, Jesus, forgive me. I want a relationship. I want all of what you have to offer me." And then we just kind of go on and we live our lives. And we never grow beyond that point. That point of salvation, that point where we meet Christ, where Jesus changes our life, where everything becomes beautiful, and God opens this incredible journey with him. For some of us, we just never step down that path and never continue on that journey, growing closer to him and exploring and discovering all the amazing things that he has for us, stepping into that beautiful plan that he has for us. Some of us are content to just stay in that place. And there's a term for that. We call them baby Christians, okay? People who just never really grow out of their infancy when it comes to their relationship with Jesus. And I know that it's God's desire that we move beyond that. I know that it's God's desire. And I'm not saying that it's not important for us to remind ourselves of the grace of Jesus and how he saved us from our sin and how we have this brand new life. That's great to remind ourselves of that. But if that's all we know about God, if those are the only facts that we have about God, if that's as far as our experience with God has gone, we're in trouble. Because that means we don't have a faith that's growing and strong. And if we don't have a faith that's growing and strong, we can't face the situations that life throws our way. At least we can't handle them in the way that brings God honor. And consequently, love stinks in our home. Things don't go the way they're supposed to go because we're not following God's plan. We're not staying connected to the vine. And we don't have that understanding of really what God requires of us. And so we need to have a faith that is growing and strong. And so I would ask you this question. Where are you at with that? Where are you at with that? Are you spending time with God? Are you spending time talking to God? Do you have this desire in you to grow and to learn more about him? Have you asked Jesus to journey with you through this life and not just take his free gift of salvation? It's just kind of like this ticket to get out of hell or this, you know, I don't know, this emotional experience. So I challenge you this morning, if you're in that place where you've just kind of begun a relationship with Jesus and he's inviting you to go deeper with him, I challenge you to go there. I challenge you to accept his invitation and to go deeper with him. Stay connected to the vine and understand that your relationship with God is directly related to how things go in your home, to how things go in your relationships, to how things go in life. It's directly related to your connection with the vine. The next thing that I want you to take with you this morning is that we need to have a faith that applies God's truth. We need to have a faith that applies God's truth. Look at this passage in Ephesians, Ephesians 1, 16 through 17. Paul says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So he says, I want these two things to happen. I want God to give you this wisdom, this insight. And then I also want him to give you this knowledge so that you can continue to grow in your knowledge of him. Let's kind of break this down. The word wisdom here is the word Sophia. And it just means a proper application of knowledge. I remember as a kid sitting in the passenger seat of my dad's truck and watching him drive stick shift. And as I would watch him drive, I became so familiar with his motions. I would watch how he would, you know, ease off on the clutch and ease onto the accelerator as he would put it in gear. And I would see that kind of fluid motion that he made look so easy. And I'd watch him do it hundreds and hundreds of times. And I was just carefully studying how he did it. And then my first car was a stick shift. I'm like, I got this. I've been watching my dad do stick shift for years. And so I know what I'm doing. And so my first drive, as a matter of fact, I rode with a friend of mine. He was a pastor's son. His name was Mike. And so, pastor's sons, don't trust them. So Mike says to me, dude, you want to learn how to drive stick shift? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I want to be able to do this. And he's like, the best thing to do is to go through a drive-thru. If you can go through a fast food drive-thru with a stick shift, you got it made. So I'm like, bring it on. Let's do this. Most frightening experience of my life. Right? I mean, being like 6 inches from the car in front of you at all times and having the car lurching the whole time, I was freaked out. And by the time I got out of there, I just punched my friend Mike in the face. No, I didn't do that. But I was just like, dude, why would you do that to me? That fluid motion that I'd seen my dad do so many times and I felt like I really understood what it was to drive stick shift. When I was actually in that place, I just couldn't do it. It wasn't the same thing. And so it's proper application of knowledge. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not just understanding how something works, but actually being able to apply the principles and make it work, to actually be able to drive a stick shift rather than just kind of know how it functions, how it operates. The other word here, knowledge. Now, the word knowledge in the Bible is a pretty amazing word because it means not just knowing about something, but it means an experiential knowledge, okay? An experiential knowledge is very different from a knowledge because you can know who someone is, but to have a friendship with them is to really experience them. Does that make sense? We had our student leadership training this past weekend, and Vanessa, one of my staff, was up talking to the kids, and she did this great thing that I loved, and I'm like, going to steal it from her someday. And she was telling the kids, I had this friend named Barack, and I know everything about him. And so she's like, just start asking me questions. His name's Barack Obama. So the kids were like all, you know, shouting out all these, you know, questions, and she's like answering all these things. She was like making up stuff, right? And then by the end, she's like, I don't really know him. You know, I just read about him, just heard about him. I've never really actually met him. And she's like, I'm just going off of what I know. And the problem with a lot of us in our relationship with Jesus, we're kind of just going off what we know about Jesus, and we're not actually experiencing him in our lives. We haven't actually gone deep with him and really had an experience with God. We know things about him. Maybe we could describe him to someone else. But to actually trust God through a difficult situation, to actually lean and depend upon his word to bring us through a tight place, that's experience, and that's what this word knowledge is about. And this particular one even goes more intense because it's not just knowledge, which is gnosis, it's epignosis, which just amplifies that. And it means a clear, exact knowledge that has a significant influence on the knower. This is how God wants us to know him. Not just know about him, not just know who he is, but to really experience him, to really journey through life with him in a way that has an incredible influence on us. That's what it means to truly experience God and to know him. So to have a faith that applies God's truth, God wants us to be regularly influenced by his truth so that we can face every situation armed with the proper know-how. And there's only one way, my friends, there's only one way that we can truly be regularly influenced by God's truth, and that's to spend time in his word. That's to spend time in his word. And here's the thing. You may come on a Sunday morning to Remnant and listen to myself, to Jerry, to Frank, and I mean, I think that we do a great job. We work hard, and we do a good job of presenting God's truth to you, but we're just not sure how much of it you're able to latch onto in that period of time and how much you're able to remember and to write down. And let's be honest. I mean, I know for myself, if my wife gives me a grocery list and it's not written down and I go to the store, I'm just like, well, why am I here? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I know how my memory works at times, and so my challenge to you is to be a person that is really digging deep into God's word. Because the more time you spend in God's word, and the more you know about God and what he says about himself and the truth that he reveals to you about this life, the better you're going to be able to face every situation in life. Because I'm just going to be straight with you. If you're facing a situation right now and you're saying to yourself, I don't really know how to deal with this, the answer is here. The answer is in God's word. And just because you haven't spent enough time in God's word to become familiar with the solution that God has for you, you're putting yourself through some pretty needless pain at times. You're experiencing some things that God doesn't intend for you to experience because you're not taking his knowledge with you. You're not taking the truth of God with you into the life that God's given you to live. And that makes all the difference. Now, here's the thing about life. There's no warning road signs in life. Am I right? I mean, wouldn't it be great if just like as you're driving down the highway, you know, it tells you construction zone ahead, or it tells you, you know, we were traveling a lot in New Mexico and Colorado, and there was like signs that would have different pictures of animals. And so we'd see those and be like, oh, okay, there's deer here, there's elk here, there's cows and spaceships. Apparently when you drive through New Mexico, they don't just have cows, they have like a flying saucer above them in New Mexico. Something to do with, you know, Roswell or whatever. Anyway, all right. So we were like, what is that all about? And we're like, oh, okay, it's supposed to be a joke. Yeah, then we left. But so the warning signs are helpful because you know what's coming up. You know to slow down if you're going through an area like that. Debbie and I took this incredible drive up to a place called Pikes Peak. Amazing, amazing. If you've never been there, it's incredible. So Pikes Peak is at, what is it, 14,110 feet? Okay, so I mean you're way, way up there. Let me describe for you if I can how high we were. Okay, we were in Colorado, so people get pretty high in Colorado, right? marijuana legalized and everything, but I'm talking elevation. Okay, so here's what happened. We get on this drive, and we start going up this mountain road, and there's a road that takes you all the way to the very top of Pikes Peak. And so we see a cloud that had kind of just settled on the top of Pikes Peak, and we're like, we're going to the top right there. And as we get up there, we're realizing we're actually going to drive into the cloud. And so as we actually drive into the cloud, it's like raining, but rain's not like actually falling on us. It's just kind of appearing on our car and like running off. We're like, wow, this is weird. We're in a cloud. This is crazy. And so I took a couple of snapshots. By the way, if you're ever driving on a dangerous road where there's like, you know, if you go off the road, you could fall like 14,000 feet, okay, and your passenger is afraid to take pictures because you're so high up and it's scary, then just, you know, do the manly thing, break out with your phone, and snap pictures while you're driving. It makes perfect sense to me. Have a couple pictures for you guys. Okay, so, yeah, driver's side shot, screenshot. Yeah, this right here, why is there not a guardrail there? Some crazy pastor is going to drive up there and take pictures with his cell phone, and he's going to drive off the road. So it was pretty crazy. As you can see, the cloud, we were actually driving up into that cloud. Okay, have another shot here. Here's our view. From where we were standing on Pikes Peak, we could actually see California. Yeah. It's out. Actually, the truth is, that, what was it? You can see four states from Pikes Peak. Pretty crazy. I mean, so we are way, way up there. It was insane. And on our way up there, they did have some warning signs for us, which we were so glad that they had. Those road sign warnings that you really want life to have, they had some of those. Yeah. We were prepared. Let's zoom in on that a little bit, Randy, for us. Okay, so apparently Bigfoot was in like an 80s metal band. I don't know. Anyway, you can party with Bigfoot. Anyway, due to this is a serious sign, okay? They weren't messing around here. I mean, you can tell. It says, due to the sightings in the area of a creature resembling Bigfoot, this sign has been posted for your safety. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Where was the sign that said dangerous cliff? That was the one we needed. But no, they had the Bigfoot sign. So, yeah, we didn't see Bigfoot, by the way. We were actually pretty disappointed, because I heard sightings were pretty common, and so that was our experience. As you navigate your way through life, the honest truth is you're not going to see road signs. There's not going to be like a road sign that says danger ahead. As a matter of fact, usually we're right in the middle of danger before we realize we're there. Isn't that the way it happens? Situations come upon us so fast, we're like, oh, crud, what just happened? I'm in a terrible place. And that is why it is so important for us to be into God's word. That is why it's so important for us to be committed to being regularly exposed to God's truth. Because we don't know when those situations are coming. We can't predict them. We can't see what's around the corner. And so for us to be able to be prepared when we go into a situation that requires knowledge that only comes from God, we've got to spend time with Him. We have to spend time with God. We have to have a faith that applies God's truth. And that's not going to happen unless we're spending time in God's word, spending time studying his word. And I'm not talking about, you know, studying it like you would a textbook, maybe studying for an exam. If that's the way you study the Bible, that may work for you. But I encourage you to go to God's word and to really pray and ask God, would you make clear to me the truth that you want me to have in this moment? Would you clearly show me what you want me to receive? And then open God's word and allow him to speak to you through his word. Surround even your time in God's word with prayer. And I guarantee you that your time in God's word will be much more valuable, much more efficient, much more fruitful. We've got to have a faith that applies God's truth. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Paul tells us in Philippians 1:9, I pray that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. That only happens through your experience with God's word. Colossians 1:9-10, again, Paul says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. I love this passage. I mean, if we could just take this passage and just begin our day with this awareness that if we're going to live a life that brings God honor, if we're going to live a life that actually produces the kind of fruit that God wants us to see in our lives, we have got to be spending time in God's word. There's no other way that you are going to learn to know God better and better than for spending time in God's word. It's great that you're here. It's great that you get to hear myself, Jerry, and Frank share his word with you. But it cannot replace your personal time with God and his word, receiving his personal message for you so that you can face the days that he gives you. The last thing is this. We need a faith that relies on God's power. We need a faith that relies on God's power. Because here's the thing. For many of us, most of what we do in life, we do in our own strength. We face a situation that's tough, and we try to power through it. We try to, like, dig down deep within us and try to find the strength to make it through. And when we do get through a difficult situation, it's like we feel good about ourselves. And we're like, yeah, I did that. I did that. I can do anything, right? And the world would have you believe that you have the power within you to do or to accomplish anything. But the truth is, the only power that you have in you that's able to accomplish anything comes from God. Because if you're following after him and you're pursuing your relationship with him, God is giving you access to his power at all times. And I think that's like the best kept secret in Christianity, the power of God's Spirit, the power that God gives us access to as we pursue a life that honors him. Because let's be honest. I mean, how often do we really think about God's power that's available to us? We read the scriptures and we're amazed when we see Jesus perform miracles. We're like, wow, I wish I could have been in the room, or not in the room, but I wish I could have been there when Jesus fed the 5,000. I wish I could have been in that boat when Jesus calmed the waves and the wind and everything just stopped. I don't think I'd want to be in the boat before that happens, but right at that moment, yeah, I'd be cool with that. We were like, you know, if I could just see God's power like that, if we could witness God's power in that fashion, then maybe it would be easier to trust him. What do you think? No. I don't think so. I look at the disciples and they experienced all of that, and yet they still had these doubts. They still had these moments where they weren't trusting and relying on God. I mean, when it came down to it at the very end, they even kind of doubted that he was even who he said he was. Even though they had experienced all of his miracles along the way, they still reached a point where they were like, is he really God, or was he just some dude that could do cool stuff? And I would hate for you, as you journey in your walk and your relationship with God, to reach a point where you're like, you know, God, are you really there? I mean, did I just imagine all that stuff that you did? See, we need to understand that we have access to the very same power that Jesus had access to when he was here on earth, when he performed miracles, when he did those things that just amazed the crowds, the things that we would say are impossible to do. The power that Jesus has to do that is the same power that you have living within you. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have God's Holy Spirit. You have the power of God within you. And I think that is the most incredible gift that we receive when we begin this beautiful relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 1, 19 through 20, let's look at this. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Just in case you had any doubt in your mind that the power you have within you is really God's full power, understand that he tells us in his word, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I can't think of any miracle recorded in scripture that's more amazing than when Jesus came back to life and rose from that tomb. Because not only was that physically a miracle, but that was a miracle spiritually for us, because it means that we can enter into new life because Jesus conquered death and sin. And my friends, you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead within you if you have a relationship with him. Why don't we access that power? I mean, why don't we use the power that God has given us? Why is it that is like this big secret in our relationship with God? Why is it that we're not doing these incredible, amazing things for him? It's simply because we don't really believe that we have access to that power. But I'm telling you, it's right there in God's word. You have access to that power. I think it's time we started using the power that God has given us. Let's look at the word, what it means. The word for power is the word dunamis. Okay, we get the word dynamite from that. This power that God has, it's a natural capacity to do anything. Inherent ability to perform any task. So this power is describing a power that cannot be stopped. There is no limitations to God's power. That's the power we have access to. And then when it says this same mighty power that we have that raised Jesus from the dead, the word here is kratos, which means great force or power in action. In action. Very important, because if God's power is just lying dormant in your life, if it's not being used, then really what good is it? What good is the power of God if it lies dormant in your life? That's why he uses the word kratos, which means this is power in action. Okay, this is power released. This is power that is active and is moving and is accomplishing things. That's the kind of power that God desires for our lives. So we need to have a faith that relies on God's power. See, God has given us access to his supernatural power through his Spirit to be his hands and feet to accomplish his purposes. He's given us access to his power so that we here on earth can be God's hands and his feet to accomplish his purposes. Now that sounds so awesome to say we can be the hands and feet of God because we're empowered by him. But as someone told me this past week, you know, we can brag about being the hands and feet of God, but the reality is Jesus had holes in his hands and in his feet. He suffered so that we can have this power and have this ability. So for us to have that same power, I believe that God is inviting us not only to enter into this incredible life with him, but also to enter into the suffering of Jesus. And that's something that we don't really want to face as followers of him. We want everything to be perfect. We want everything to go smoothly. But the reality is, if we're really going to model what it is to be like Jesus, we're going to have to go through some tough times. We're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to live sacrificially. It's all a part of having a faith that relies on God's power. Colossians 1:29, Paul says, "That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." In other words, he says, I am constantly struggling to make sure that I am accessing God's power. It's an active and moving thing in your life. It takes intentionality. Ephesians 3:20, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Now that's a huge promise from God. That if we're relying on him and on his power, if we're allowing his power to work in us, we can do anything that we can ask or imagine. And I can imagine a lot. But understand that the things that God is talking about are those things that are going to bring him honor, bring him glory in this life. And really, that's what living a life with Jesus is all about. It's all about pointing others to him. It's all about serving others in his name. This is the life that God's calling us to. And so maybe in your home and in your marriage and in your relationships, if something isn't quite right, maybe it's because you don't have that faith that's active and strong. Maybe it's because you don't have a faith that applies the truth that God gives us. Maybe it's because you're not accessing the power that God's made available to you on a regular basis. I think that if we truly take an introspective look at our own faith and where we're at in this with God, God's going to show us some answers, maybe some solutions to some of the problems that we're facing today. And maybe if we can get a handle on it, and maybe just grasp this concept just a little bit, God is going to do some amazing things in our homes, in our families, in our relationships. But we've got to have that faith. And it's not just any kind of faith. It's a faith that's growing and active and dependent upon God and regularly accessing his power. Let's pray.
You've You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.